Hi, this is Kira Lynn. You are listening to the Music's Journey Show with my friend Kim Sear.
The lonely nights, the wide awakes, wondering if I'll ever get over you. Second tries will go to waste. There'd be another lie that you couldn't undo. Every time you swore you'd change, you give in to the ghost that your daddy gave you. Thought I'd be the one to help you. That's why it's gonna hurt to tell you. I don't wanna love you no more. I don't wanna work this thing out. I don't wanna settle the score for every bit of taste in my mouth.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single, Love You No More, by Canadian country artist Kira Lynn. This rising star stands out by staying true to herself and writing exactly what she feels. Time and time again, Kira has shown the world that she isn't afraid to step outside the box to follow her dreams. Her artistry and the mixing of her catchy pop melodies with the elements of country and some soul make a unique and powerful sound that is all her own. This melody-driven, heartfelt singer-songwriter is a star in the making. Here to talk about her brand new single is Canadian country's rising star, Kira Lynn. Hi, Kira.
Hi. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, absolutely. I've been looking forward to this one. I love your music.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely
thank
love
you.
It.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so gifted and you are so talented in your artistry as a singer-songwriter. Man, you are so good.
Oh, thank you. You're making my day right now.
See, it's not a Monday, right? It's not a Monday.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think you know that just with your background and everything that you've done, when did you know? Let's start from the beginning of this, because there is so much history when it comes to your dancing competitively. You've done so much when it comes to musical theater, your singing, your piano, your guitar. When did all of that become an interest for you, that musical bug?
So my mom actually, it's not like I wanted to take lessons. Well, I did want to take lessons, and then it kind of became a thing where I was like, oh, I don't want to, you know, no kid wants to really practice. But I am so thankful that my mom kind of told me to keep going, and then it became such a passion and something that I couldn't shut off. And I love melodies. I'm really like melody driven. So I loved playing the piano. I kind of idolized Adele before, you know, she really got big, and Sarah McLachlan, and I loved I just loved that kind of style. Mm-hmm. And then I took guitar lessons with Terry McDade, who was a great guitar teacher. And so, yeah, I think all those lessons paid off. I was a busy kid.
A very busy kid, let me tell you. But you know what? Look at it now, because when you see the love that you have and your capability to be able to connect to lyrics the way that you do in your songwriting, that's special on its own. You can't be taught that. That's instinct.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kim. That's so nice.
How did you feel about wanting to start songwriting? When did all that start?
So I've always kind of had a very, I like to think, a creative mind, I was told, because I had a lot of stories. I actually loved like acting, and had always like, I loved playing house and those things that kind of just was always about like a story. And I loved, you know, picking up a journal and writing. I still actually do that. I do that a little bit more on my laptop now. But I loved writing stories, and then it kind of developed into like me kind of playing like melodies on the piano. And then I just was kind of singing. I would just kind of sing random like little melodies, like even the Love You No More. When I went to go write that song, I actually didn't have an idea of what I was going to write, but I started saying, I don't want to love you no more. And then it kind of developed from there. I kind of showed it to my couple friends, Ren and Kinden, and they were like, that's a really cool, it's stuck in my head. And I was like, yeah, me too. And then, so then that's how we kind of wrote it. And that actually happened with Colorado as well. Mm-hmm. So I get these like random melodies, and I sing things that I think at the time don't make sense, but subconsciously I think I have an idea of what I want to write, you know, without knowing it.
I think too, it's an outlet as well, you know, when it comes to being aware of our feelings. And, being able to deal with that inside is just a different creative way, you know, to do it. But yeah. Journaling is something that's been, you know, something that so many of us do, that it's just our way of being able to say things out loud.
I mean, sometimes even to this day, like when I'm going through things, I mean, sometimes I'll, you know, I think I'm a little bit of a deep thinker, and, you know, and so I'll kind of start writing, and sometimes I'll be clicking away. And my friend, one time I remember, my friend Lauren is actually here with me right now.
Hey, Lauren.
I wrote this, like, yeah, Lauren's here actually.
Cool. So you'll have to, you know, say hi to Lauren for us.
I will. Yeah. But I was going to say that one day I had a lot on my mind. So I started typing, and I had this like whole kind of, it ended up being like a long page, and she was like, what were you just writing? Because it wasn't like an email for work or something. And I was like, I literally just was like getting out my thoughts. And sometimes it's like therapy. I think right now, especially everything going on in the world, I think, you know, writing is such a good outlet, even if you're not a writer, just like writing down your thoughts, and you'd be surprised what can come out of your own mind, you know?
I agree. And it's a way of not bottling things up, because if we suppress it and we push everything down, like those thoughts just keep repeating. And I think that's what leads into a lot of depression and different, you know, mental illnesses that we develop through 100%. Situational, you know, things that are going on in our lives. It doesn't mean that we suffer from depression, you know, all the time. It's just, it's a situational thing when we're down and we're going through stuff. So it's a great way to be able to say things in a safe place, and, you know, to be able to do that, where some of us, like for me, I don't really talk about my stuff, and, you know, I just never really was a person that did that. Wish I did. And now I start using this platform in a lot of ways, because it's just so important for, you know, us to be able to give that message out there. The more you talk about it, don't be 100%. Ashamed of it. You know what? It's all good. Yes. And we all go through it, right?
Well, and even this song, you know, Love You No More, is actually a very personal song. And, you know, when I go out and perform, my dad, you know, he'll say, Kira, like, don't talk about your ex. Like, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to, oh, this guy just walked past me saying, yeah, you don't have to talk about your ex. Oh my gosh. Sorry. Anyways, so
hey,
yeah.
It makes for a good podcast.
I'm sorry. I cannot believe I'm, anyways. I'll talk about that. And my dad was like, you know, you don't have to bring that up and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you know what? Like, I did go through, you know, a really bad relationship, and something I think that it is important to like talk about that. And I think so many people can relate. And unfortunately, you know, there's bad guys and bad girls and whatever, and we all, you know, we have those relationships. But I think the beauty of writing is I get to, like, you know, express what I went through or what I'm going through, you know, or what I think, and I want to help maybe someone else that maybe isn't a bad relationship, and they, you know, don't have the strength yet to walk away, and because I know that feeling. And but when you do, I think that's when you know, you build up that courage to just know, you know, remember your worth, and know when to walk away when someone isn't treating you right.
We played a bit of the song at the top of the show, and I'm going to be talking about it again a little bit later and getting into that whole subject a little bit more. Was there a song or an artist that stood out to you the most in your life emotionally that influenced you for the kind of music that you wanted to write and release?
Honestly, probably Sarah McLachlan from the start. Just I loved the way that she delivered her songs, and they felt like, to me, from a real place. And just like her with the piano and such a soulful kind of, you know, just a real place. That's what I felt like. And I love artists like James Bay and, you know, people that just, I think, what I feel anyway is that they deliver those songs because they're feeling those songs. They're not just singing a song, because I think there's great singers out there that can sing the phone book, but I think it's about, like, feeling what you're singing, and why are you singing that, and what message are you trying to put out, you know? Adele, too, like I said earlier, I love the way Adele sings with her emotions and feels every word. I mean, that's like, I get captivated by that.
And with no apology, and that's the way it should be, because we own our feelings, we own what we've gone through, we own our experiences, and what we enable, what we don't enable, and it's just all stages and snippets in our life. You know, we all have to learn.
Yeah.
If we weren't all, you know, in that place where we have our ups and downs, even though like we have some really tough ones, you know, that we all go through. But if we didn't do that, we wouldn't recognize the good to begin with. And, you know, when people are out there judging on social media, and it's easy to do all that, but, you know, they forget, you know, what that does, you know, to somebody. And I always try to stay with the fact that, you know what, at the end of the day, how many people did you just stop to help for a moment? Even if you bump into somebody on the sidewalk and you don't acknowledge that person, hey, sorry, you know, you don't know where that person is in their life. They might have had their head down and not paying attention to what's going on for other reasons that we may not understand, right? And without acknowledging them and just saying, listen, hey, sorry about that, just to make sure that person's okay, that could be the difference between life and death for that person.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not going to lie. It baffles my mind that so many people, I mean, I remember when I first came to Nashville, I mean, there's so many nice people here, of course. And, you know, you're going to get bad people everywhere in the world, right? And you're going to get nice people everywhere in the world. So, but I remember it was, you know, when I first came to Nashville, just like bumping into people, I was always saying sorry. And I always acknowledge, like, you know, and people were, I loved that they were like, you're fine. Like, they always said that, and I was like, oh, you know, and yeah. And then, but then there, yeah, there's the odd person. Like, I mean, I just, yeah, it boggles my mind. Like, just people that push past me, they don't even say anything. And I'm just like, but then I always think, I'm like, again, I don't know what kind of day they're having. I mean, you never know. Like, you could be having the worst day of your life and you don't even know, you know? So I think that, and I grew up with a family that's very close. My parents are like my best friends, and I'm very fortunate for that. And so I've always told them everything, and probably too many things they don't need to know, but I tell them everything, and we're a very open family. So that's probably where I felt comfortable to talk about my feelings. And, for those people that, you know, don't feel comfortable, I hope, they find a place to feel comfortable.
I think too, when you don't have compassion around you and a support team around you that way, I think that's where that stems from a lot of people. So you've had that great experience of that example of what compassion looks like. And, you know, that's that goes an awful long way in this world, in a tougher skin where you can handle much tougher situations, because, hey, you know, this whole pandemic and everything people are going through is just a whole new ball game, you know, when it comes to what this generation never saw coming. And, you know, we heard about it with our grandparents and things like that, things they've survived through, and even our parents. But when we're taking a look at what people are going through right now and having that downtime and being able to self-reflect.
Yes, 100%.
And making those changes in yourself, recognizing them, because, like, let's face it, for you guys are constantly in writing sessions when you're not in the studio, when you're not performing live in the summertime, and when you're not doing your radio tours. You guys don't have a lot of time to really sit and reflect and, hey, you know what, is this how I want to approach this? You guys are go, go, go. You got, you know, when you're independent artists, you've got to wear an awful lot of hats, and you're doing an awful lot of stuff, you know, for a label to be able to even take a look at you, because they want turnkey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not an 100%. Easy, not an easy thing.
No. And then social media nowadays, you know, I find obviously there's positives and negatives to everything, and especially social media being that, you know, I know that artists are really making it now just through social media and, you know, getting out there, TikTok and all that. But I find it, like, I find it pretty challenging for myself, because I don't know, it's hard to be your authentic self, like, behind a screen, you know. Like, I'm an in-person person. Like, I don't think a lot of people, you know, take a chance to, you know, maybe get to know me, or, and they're always surprised. And, you know, and I'm like, I hope I'm doing a good job of showing myself, you know, on social media, but it's easier said than done. That's a challenge for me, for sure.
Well, for me too, because I'm used to interviewing on the carpet. And so it's a lot different for me to do it this way. And we've all had to kind of adapt. And I know how I felt when I was doing the first few, and I went, this just doesn't feel the same, because you're not picking up on the energy of the person. You're not. And this is where I come back to it.
Exactly, the energy.
The energy, but also the connection between the eyes. You know, when you're, it's so
100%.
Not done today, where people look each other in the eyes and really respect each other in the conversation, listen, because they're behind the screen all the time on their iPhones and different devices. You don't have that same kind of authentic feel, and it's really missing today. It's pretty sad.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to your downtime, did it allow you to be able to concentrate more on honing your craft as a songwriter than what you have in the past?
Like the downtime through like the pandemic? So for me, I've actually, you know, people think that I'm this like really like extrovert that like, you know, goes out a lot. And I laugh because I'm like, truly, I am. I gain my energy by being by myself. Like I am a homebody. A lot of the time, and that's how I, you know, I was when I was even young. And my mom would say, you know, she'd be like, are you gonna go out with your friends? And I'd be like, sometimes just writing in my room, you know, writing a song or like, you know. And so I didn't find it that much of a shock for myself personally, but I do know that like some of my friends, they realized how much they rely on friends and go out all the time. And then through the pandemic, you had to like, you know, stay in. So I do find ways to, I love being alone, and I love, you know, even just watching TV is something that I enjoy doing. I just shut off my brain for a little bit, you know.
I think you and I are soul sisters.
Are you like that too?
I am. And I find that, you know, during the pandemic, it just allowed me to be more creative. Okay, what can I do? What can I create? I'm always creating. Yeah. And yes. I'm very comfortable that way. And I'm more comfortable that way than I am. And it's funny because look what I do for a living. But, you know, when you're on the carpet and stuff like that, it's not about me whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm constantly, did I do enough research? Do I know everything I need to know? I'm so focused on the job that I don't really think about myself in those moments. And at all. And it's just like, okay, once I'm done the job, I wrap it up and I'm on to what I got to do next. I'm very professional that way. So I'm allowed to be more creative with myself and my own downtime. I imagine you're probably the same way.
Yeah. And also, I mean, even just entertaining, like I say, you know, I do get tired after performing and you know, after my like last show here in Nashville, and my parents were in town and my mom was ready to go. She's like, what about Broadway? I was like, oh my gosh, no. Like, I can't. I'm like, I think because I'm a true like people pleaser too. So like I'm an entertainer. Even if I'm not entertaining, even if I'm around friends, I want them to have a good time. I want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to be laughing. Like, so I kind of overexert myself a little bit in that sense. And then, so when I get home, I'm just like, that is my time to, just like, you know, gain my energy back. But I can tell that you love what you do, and like even just through the phone call and like what you're saying. So I think that's awesome because I know that some people just don't like what they do. And then that's very, it's easy to tell that energy, you know? So I think that's great.
I love getting to know the artist and making sure that I really get to know them personally, because I think that's the story that so many of the fans don't get to see, and the hard work you guys put into it. Being independent, it's not the same as it was years ago, and especially for females. I know females are, especially Canadian females, are doing so well. Like the talent pool is just crazy. But I also know what you're facing. And, you know, when it comes to sitting in rights and you're writing and writing and writing, and they expect you to write 3 and 5 years and do that grind from all those small little places that you're supposed to be performing in for 6 years before they're even going to take a look at you, because they want you seasoned. They want you to have a long career. They don't want just that hit record that's going to come out and, hey, you know, it's a great song. Let's grab her and, you know, put her on the radio right now.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing that. You are definitely.
Thank you. I'm trying. I'm definitely trying. They call it a 10-year town. So
they do.
I'm not quite at 10 years, but I hope that something happens then.
Well, you put out your first album in 2010 that you wrote all your own.
Oh my gosh, I was so young.
I know.
That was
Something Like Love.
Album now.
Yeah, Something Like Love. So when you look at that.
Actually, I shouldn't laugh. I love that. I do. Russell Broom was great, and working with him. And, you know, I think that just watching how much I've, you know, grown and like, but I will say as a young writer, the beauty of that is I wasn't as, you know, worrying about, because now when I'm in rights in Nashville, it's about like, you know, the structure of the song and like And, you know, and some people are very, very, like, honed in on their, you know, verse, chorus, verse, mm-hmm. pre-chorus, whatever. They have a structure, you know. And so when I was writing back then, I was just writing for me. I had no structure. Like, I had no sense of feeling like, oh, you know, should I say this or should I not? Like, I wasn't second-guessing myself mm-hmm. as much as maybe I am now, because now I'm like, oh, could this, you know, would radio want to play this? Or, you know, would this relate to people? Or, you know, or am I writing this correctly? Or, you know, I'm just like, I get in my head a little bit more now, which is, you know, it is what it is. But I do appreciate those older songs, because I definitely was just doing me.
Well, and it's a different world. We're going to get into that. We're talking about the writing process and what it was like for you, Kira, in Nashville, getting into those first writes, learning that whole process, because the more you get into that, because when you're writing from your heart, you're just writing a song for you. But when you're going into a writing session, you know, it might be a title that they throw at you, mm-hmm. and that's the song you got to write today. Or they might have a phrase, or, you know, it might be a melody, as you said. It all depends, and you got to learn how to work with that. So it was like a total mm-hmm. learning experience for you going into those kinds of writes.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you writing at all with any of the great Canadian female artists out there? And we've got a lot of new ones coming, like James Barker Band's going out there. You've got Cross Parallel's going to be going out there too, you know, come January.
Yep.
Michelle Wright. There's so many amazing artists out there right now.
There really are. I love Kelsey Kulik. I've written a few ones with her. I think she's back in Canada right now, and she had a baby and everything. But
Eric.
I really enjoy writing with her.
Yeah, Eric's a really good friend of mine. So, she is just amazing. I've had her on the show once. She is just so talented. So talented.
Yeah, she's so sweet, too. Genuine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for them with their new baby.
Just, I know, so cute.
Yeah, just to see the two of them holding that little bundle of joy. So it's been so special, you know, to be able to watch their full circle moments. Being able to travel in that van for as long as they did and then get their home out in Nashville.
I know.
Yeah, really cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
What has been your favorite mentoring ship that you've had so far?
Like someone mentoring me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Ralph Murphy, honestly, he's passed away. But he was just such a great, you know, songwriter himself. And then just like the advice that he gave me, he was such a just such a nice man and just a genuine person and just with a kind heart and giving and just wants to help people. So he really helped me in the beginning stages. Now Mark Driscoll, he's in the music industry here as a publisher. And he helped me a lot with my last single, Colorado, and just giving me, you know, the advice and just, you know, and helping me out, because I think it is hard, you know, when you don't have a team around you. Like I mean, my mom helps me out tremendously, which I'm very thankful for, but I, you know, it's not like I pay her to be my manager or something. She just does it out of love and wants to support me. But you know, when you have a team, you have someone, you know, setting up everything for you and telling you what you you know, say and do and all these things. And, you know, so for me, it's just finding, you know, because I'm an independent artist, it's just finding my own way with a lot and just kind of watching what other artists are doing and what's making them successful and just trying to navigate my way through it all.
It's hard too, because anybody will tell you that's been in the industry long enough, surrounding yourself with a team that you can trust that aren't there just because you're doing well in the moment, or, you know, they see that you've got a good place to go, you know, in the industry, a bright light in the industry.
Yeah.
It's hard to be able to navigate through that and learn to trust, especially people pleasers like we are. And it's not an easy thing to do. So having those people around you that you've worked with, ones that you know that you write easily with, ones that you can mm-hmm. rely on when you got to get a project done, those are the ones that you're going to turn to for now. And you learn, you know, through this whole process, some hardships and then, you know what, at the very end of it, you'll always hear just the main advice that you'll hear from all the legends will say, surround yourself with good people.
Oh yeah, 100%. And mm-hmm. my friend, Ren Anderson, who I wrote Colorado and Love You No More with, I love writing with him. I actually went on a writer retreat with him and my friend Kenan Oaks, and in Colorado we went with Nora Collins as well, and I really enjoy just writing with those guys, because I know them well, so I like, you know, I can be myself and they know, you know, things I went through. But Ren's just a great, exceptional writer. He just, you know, writes what he feels and in that moment. And so he's great with putting my thoughts and my words into, like, kind of poetry in a sense. So that's, I think that's a great person that I've been looking up to as a writer.
That's good. That's really, really good. Well, we're going to talk about Colorado right now because it's such a beautiful story behind the honest and the raw lyrics, you know, of this incredible song. The writing style and your approach to this one. Talk to us about that.
So I went through that kind of that bad breakup like a year and a bit ago. And I went back to Nashville, and I had been gone for quite some time. And so I came back to Nashville, and I remember just writing this song. It was kind of actually going to be more of like kind of a breakup song in the sense of wondering, you know, and it wasn't 100% truthful or anything like that, but I was thinking about, you know, let's run away to Colorado. I had this little melody like, let's run away to Colorado. I was thinking about saying, you know, maybe we can fix it in Colorado, like meet in Colorado, kind of thing like that. And I had that idea. And so I had that kind of stuck in my head for a while. And then I went and wrote with Ren and Kinnon, and then Kinnon's friend Mark, who he was in a band with a while back. And anyway, so then they've all been to Colorado, and I have myself too. And so we kind of just, you know, the direction it started taking is like we started using imagery about Colorado and like, and you know, and just all that kind of just turned, you know, very quickly into a romantic song. And it wasn't about one particular couple that are either together or not together. It's just about the fact that you're just running away in that moment together, and you're escaping kind of from whatever you're feeling. And I think that that's like something that I could use, you know, running away to the mountains. And it's kind of magical, you know, the thought of that. So that's how that came about.
It's kind of cool because so many fans can attach, you know, any kind of story to this. It could be a long time love. It could be a new love. It's just, you know, that vulnerability of wanting romance, because in the very end of all of this, you know, when it comes to how people date today, to how our parents dated, you know, when it comes to the very end, we all want the same thing, and that's to be loved and to find that magic. Yeah. And it's pretty special. So we're going to play this one right now. Here is Colorado by country artist Kira Lynn on Music's Journey.
Thousand stars up in the sky, whispering new colors all around us, and echoing its songs through the night. Let's run away to Colorado, make a mile high vow. We can steal your daddy's Bronco, chase the sun over the clouds. Silver Ridge and River fill our thirsty souls. Let's run away, let's leave today for Colorado. Beneath the glittered coast of California, where shadows cast beneath a neon light, leave the world below.
We can steal your daddy's Bronco, chase the sun over the clouds. Let it fill the woods and rhythm, fill our thirsty souls. Let's run away, let's leave today for Colorado. Let's run away, let's leave today for Colorado.
Was Colorado by Canadian country artist Kira Lynn, a song about living in the moment and running to the mountains with somebody that you love or even somebody that you just met. Such a wonderful, wonderful song. You are so captivating as a storyteller. You connect, and that's something I picked up right away. Just listening to your voice, I am going to say this because I'm waiting. I am waiting for you to let loose on a song. Oh. When it comes to what your vocal capability is, I just want to hear it once. Selfish reasons. It's got nothing to do with the song that you're writing. I just want to hear it because I know you've got such incredible power behind your vocal capability.
Oh, thank you.
And I can't wait to hear that. But you write in such an intimate way, a very vulnerable way. And I think that's so important when it comes to the relatability, you know, when it comes to the fans and them being able to attach their own personal story. And you've done that. Your artistry to create that in your music, it's beautiful. And you're so soulful with your vocals. It's breathtaking. You can tell a story, girlfriend.
Oh, thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate you saying that because I do feel like I come from a vulnerable place, and I, you know, and I feel everything I sing. If I don't feel something, I don't feel like I perform well, and that's just me. I just can't. I need to feel it. I need to have that energy behind that, and kind of relate it to myself in a way. And that's when I feel like I can, you know, sing my best. And so thank you for acknowledging that, because I feel like some people don't really, you know, maybe they just don't recognize that, but you kind of nailed what I really do try to do and what. And so you're kind of reading into my mind right now. So thank you.
I told you, I think it's that we're both soul sisters here. I understand you. I really do. I truly do.
Thank you.
It holds true to everything that I've just said when it comes to your latest single. You really connect with the lyrics, bringing home that message that so many of us have needed at some point in time in our lives, no matter how much we want a relationship to work, what we thought we had, the realization that that person that you thought you loved isn't treating you the way that you deserve, and being able to look at life in a different way. It takes some time. Some people, it takes a long time to get there. I've gone through it, and there's just no doubt about it. No matter how much we say, okay, it's just not good, I need to break away from this, you still want to hold out hope, because it's in my nature anyway to believe the best 100%. In people. And that comes from the people-pleasing thing, I would think, as well. But I'd like to believe that that's a big part of my faith and a big part of who I am. If I didn't believe in people, and, you know, I could be some of those people that you see on social media that just judge in the moment, I'd rather not. I'd rather let that person work through it and give that person, you know, a second chance. I believe in that, but I think that person's got to earn it, too. But it takes time to get there. Really does take time to get
100%.
There.
100%. Yeah. And I think that I'm not saying, you know, someone can't change and someone can't fix themselves and fix themselves for themselves or the relationship. I'm not saying that because, you know, I do believe that, but there's also that fine line that, you know, you have to realize when it's not, you know, you deserve way more. And so it took me a couple of years to be in that relationship and
usually
just realize, it took finding out that it just, you know, finally there was something that was dead center in my face to realize that, okay, time to walk away, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and it feels great when you do that. That's for sure.
It does, because then you realize taking accountability, I think, in our own role, you know, in those relationships and being able to look at it and say, okay, you know what? I enabled this. I knew.
Yeah.
And I enabled it. There's something very freeing when you finally have that aha moment. And you really take a solid look at that and say, okay, you know what? I am glad I get it now, because then you're whole. then you, that piece of you comes back, and they never have that power anymore.
Well, and I think that one thing that's so important too is just following your gut and mm-hmm. listening to your gut, because like that's something I learned, you know, kind of the hard way. But like I knew it, I just didn't want to. You don't want to believe it when you love someone. You see only the good when you love someone, and that's great. But like, you know, you have to open your eyes and like really, like, you know, ask yourself: is this person? What is this person doing for me? You know, and mm-hmm. how is this person making me feel? That's like a big thing too. And so my gut was right, but you know, I did second guess myself, and that's something I'm still working on. I think that I just, and that it comes all back around, like the people pleasing and the, you know, all that you're mm-hmm. talking about. You seem to have those similar things with me.
Well, I think too, when you look at it, when you look at it, you know, I think a lot of that part of ourselves, when we're saying, okay, we want to look at the good side of somebody, again, it's got so much more to do with us than it does with them. Because when you're looking at it, it's like, what do I want so badly? What do I need in my life so badly? And then again, have we made mistakes? Did we want someone to judge us, you know, when we made those changes? Or, you know, just so many things about ourselves, I think, is what drives us to do that. And until we're ready, we're not going to let, you know, we don't see it. And then it's just, you know, something happens and it's just too much. And you know, no. And then it's freeing, because we're ready to love ourselves. We're ready to see what our self-worth is. Because no matter what you want a person to be, you know what? You can't make that happen. And that's what we're doing, is we're holding on to that person because we want them to be something different that they're never going to be. And that's, you know, that's a big
loving
part.
The idea of them.
Exactly. Yeah. The real life of your dream comes from, you know, when you're able to walk away, and it all starts right there. So loving yourself enough to accept your worth and close that door. You're preaching.
Yeah.
You are preaching to us all.
I'm trying.
You are.
See, I had to talk about that relationship a little bit, because I mean, it was just, that whole song is really just a real place. And so I'm like, sorry, Dad, I have to talk about that.
I'm so glad you did, because you know what? It's changing lives. So you know what? Hey, Dad.
Yeah, and I just think my dad doesn't want to see me hurt, of course. And, you know, dad wants to see their daughter hurt. So, you know, I think it comes from a place he doesn't want to hear it.
Well, it's also that.
Which is rightfully so.
That's their generation too, though.
Yeah.
You know, you keep the bad behind the closed doors. You don't talk about anything and you don't put anything that you're going through outside of your doors. And I know my parents were like that too. So it's just not something, but inside the doors, my parents would always talk. And, you know, we would always talk things through. My parents were always amazing, you know, when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to airing it outside of your house, no, it's just not something they did.
Yeah, that's true. That is a generational thing. I didn't think about that. But now that you're saying that, I could see that for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we've had to open up, you know, and able to help each other. I think it's part of that stigma, you know, that, you know, mental illness was taking place. So many things that were happening that nobody talked about. And we did more damage by not talking.
Yeah.
And talking.
Well, even therapy now is a big thing. I mean, I used to think, oh, something's wrong if you go to therapy or something. And, you know, I don't even have a friend that doesn't go to therapy. I mean, I think it's so important just to get an objective point of view, you know?
Yeah, and people learning how to communicate what you're feeling.
Exactly.
And feeling okay to do that, regardless to whether that person receives it or doesn't receive it, as long as it's done right. But, you know, you're not doing it with disrespect, but, you know, you want to be able to communicate, and it's so important. We're going to play this one right now, the brand new single, Empowering Lives All Over the World, with Love You No More by Canadian country sensation Kira Lynn here on Music's Journey.
Lonely nights, the wide awakes, wondering if I'll ever get over you. Second trials will go to waste, there'd be another lie that you couldn't undo. Every time you swore you'd change, you give in to the ghost that your daddy gave you. Thought I'd be the one to help you, that's why it's gonna hurt to tell you. I don't wanna love you no more, I don't wanna work this thing out. I don't wanna settle the score for every bit of taste in my mouth. It's no cigarette or alcohol could chase away regret from all the time.
tears that I pour. No, I don't wanna love you no more. I bet you thought I'd never say I'm finally moving on and I don't need it. You can call, you can beg, but now I'm doing me and it don't take two. So go ahead, make your bed, the one where you lay with somebody else. I can be the one to help you. That's why I gotta tell you I don't wanna love you no more. Well, I don't wanna work this thing out. I don't wanna settle the score for every bit of taste in my mouth. No cigarette or alcohol could chase away regret from all the tears that I pour. No, I don't wanna love you no more. No, I don't wanna love you no more. 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 Oh, I don't wanna work this thing out. Now I'm gonna close the door. I don't want you hanging around. No cigarette or alcohol can chase away regret from all the tears that I pour.
That was Love You No More, the new single by my very special guest, country pop artist Kierlin. Raw and real with her vulnerability and songwriting. Such an amazing song. Such a great message. Really well done, Kira.
Thank you, Kim.
This story means this story means so much to all of us. At the end of the day, I hope that people get the chance to hear these songs and relate to them. Is there going to be a video that comes with this new single?
I have talked about that. I feel like acoustic little video, maybe a black and white something. I was thinking about me, you know, sitting on a stool and having someone play the guitar, maybe Ren play the guitar for me, the guy that I wrote it with. I was thinking about that because I really don't have videos out there, and I need to. So that is something that I'm definitely thinking about, and I'll let you know.
I wish I was in Nashville right now to help you with that one, because I just know exactly the feeling that you need to have for this one. You know, I love the song, and I think it's going to do extremely well. It already is doing very well. As I said, it's changing lives. So just want to remind fans, you can purchase and download Love You No More and also Colorado, and make sure you add it to all your playlists and your socials. Don't forget, you can call your country radio station, your local country radio station, and request it, and they will add it to the playlist. The more you make the noise, the more they put it on to the radio for you. Songs that you want to hear. Don't forget to share it on your playlist, because so many of the artists that you may have on your playlist, other people have never heard around the world, and they might just tune into what you've got on there, and you can open up a whole new door of music when it comes to these special artists that we have here in Canada. You also have got some great shows coming up. Talk to us about that.
Oh, yeah. So I'm singing on December 7th here in Nashville. I'm going to be singing at, it's called Tin Roof, and it's on Broadway, and it's going to be a writer's round. And I love writer rounds. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Very much.
I learned about them when I came to Nashville. But, you know, it's about like four or three artists on stage, and they're each kind of singing their own songs. And usually there's about four, you know, rounds or three rounds. And so I love that, because I love hearing other people, and like, you know, and just I get inspiration even from just that. You know, I've found people that I'm like, oh my gosh, we should write together, you know. So that will be December 7th.
Wonderful. And what have you got coming up for 2022?
Well, I hope I would hope to maybe be heading towards maybe an EP or an album. You know, I do have so many songs. I was just saying this the other day, that, you know, so many artists, we have so many songs, and they just kind of like sit there. And so I'm like, I've already even produced some songs, so I thought I might as well go and release you know, those songs that I already paid for and that are done. So maybe I can, yeah, work towards an album. Sorry, that was a long little vent. I had to go away. Someone was talking.
That's okay. I didn't even notice that at all. I did not notice
that
at all.
Okay, good, good. Sometimes I get so wordy and I need to concise my words.
Not with me, you don't. Not with
good.
Me, you
Thank
don't.
You, Kim. Thank you.
Well, just make sure you let me know if you've got that ready to go and you got a special song that you want to release. It's going to be heading anything
up. I will. And actually, there's a song called Deeper that I was thinking about. It's already done and it's a more piano driven song. It's kind of like a soulful. Yeah. And so my friend Josh was saying about maybe doing that black and white kind of video with me on a grand piano or something. So I will definitely keep you in the loop if I end up doing something like that.
Please. Cool. I'll pull you back on the show and we'll definitely do that. Because I have the podcast, but I also do the show as well, a special show that I do on 91.3 FM. So I do usually a 2-hour special every Tuesday night. So I will definitely put you on there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kim. And you've kind of brightened my day. I was having a bad day actually right before I came in. I spilled my green juice while I was driving and it went all over my pants.
Oh, no.
So my friend, Lauren, I ended up having to change my pants. I've just been a mess today. So you made my day. So thank you.
I'm glad I was able to do that. Well, you are such a bright future in this music industry and I cannot wait to see what you do. Do you got time just for a few burning questions so the fans get to know you just a little bit better?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay.
Totally fine.
Favorite artist on the radio today? Any genre?
I would have to say probably. I love Patrick Drowney. I know that's not on country or anything, but yes. Okay, that's what I'll say.
Very, very nice.
Okay. Or you know what? Chris Stapleton, too. I love Chris Stapleton.
Oh, I know. He's one of my faves. He'll always be one of my faves. He's just one of those people that is going to stand the test of time. One of those artists that are always going to have a staple.
He's timeless, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you have the opportunity to meet a songwriter of any genre, past or present, learn from them and have them mentor you, who would it be and why?
Ooh, I think it would be Chris Stapleton because I just love the fact that he went into music, you know, just being a songwriter. He actually didn't even want, you know, the fame. He didn't want the, to be really an artist. And I think that, you know, you can tell that is someone that definitely thinks from like a real place. And he's feeling everything he's saying. So I think that would be pretty cool.
I'm manifesting this one because I love to see you guys do a duet. Oh, man, your vocals.
Oh, my gosh. That would, my life will be made.
Oh, man. We're gonna manifest that one together, okay? I'm going to send you all that energy from here. Absolutely. Favorite thing to do to unplug from the world, besides being in a lighting store?
Besides being. I can't believe I actually just hit my head on a chandelier piece.
Oh, no.
I would say, I do. I know this is such a guilty pleasure. I do love watching TV. If I just binge watched a show on Netflix. I was like, oh, no, there goes my Friday.
Favorite show right now?
I just watched, I know that it's a little dark, but I love, you know, real mystery kind of crime shows right now. I don't know why, but it's called Mindhunter, and
I've seen
the whole first season.
Have
you seen it? Like, it's kind of freaky, but like, you know, I regret it every time I watch because I can't sleep, but then I love it because I'm like, it's crazy. I guess also just touching on this, I mean, I know this is kind of dark, but the relationship that I was in, I mean, this guy was, it ended up being, you know, a true narcissist and all those things that I'm just learning about, like the gaslighting and all those. And so I just find maybe that's why I'm kind of just learning from those
trying
shows.
To get inside the mind.
Things in the world.
Yeah, just trying to get inside that mindset. Yeah, to understand it. You just want to understand. I can guarantee it. You just want to understand. Okay. Mm-hmm. Favorite dessert that you're looking forward to for the holiday season?
Well, if my mom makes a carrot cake, I would love that. She makes a huge carrot cake with lots of cream icing.
No, if it doesn't have the icing on, it's not the same, right?
Oh, I need the icing. 100%.
I know. I'm a sauce and I don't know. I love the sauces
and the flavor.
And I
like vanilla icing, too, with any type of cake or a pie. I always need vanilla icing.
I swear we're sisters. I swear.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the craziest sign someone's held up to you while you've been on stage?
Craziest sign?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I've had something that, nothing's sticking out to me.
Nothing crazy.
I know that's a horrible no answer, but I can't see anything that was crazy, no. I mean, nice one.
Mm-hmm. What's the nicest thing somebody's held up on a sign?
I was like, this is so simple, but you rock or you're a star.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's always, anything simple just gets me.
You know what? Because it's heartfelt and they love you. That's the reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite celebrity crush growing up?
I always liked Ashton Kutcher. I think he looks like an actual nice person too. And I think he's really funny and genuine. And him and his relationship with Mila Kunis or what, I think they look so cute.
Have you watched The Ranch?
I have not.
Ooh.
No, is it good?
Gosh, he stars in that with Sam Elliott.
Okay, I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch that one. You have to Netflix that one. I think it's Netflix. Yes, Netflix, I think it's
okay,
on.
Here we go.
All right, there's another one. I think it's like 4 seasons, so you got some time.
Cool.
Okay, name 3 things that we'd find in your house.
3 things, in my place that you can find?
Mm-hmm.
Guitar, a keyboard, always need coffee.
Nice.
So coffee cup of some sort, and a book. I always love a good book.
Favorite book right now?
It's called, I haven't picked it up for a little bit. My friend let me borrow it. I think it's called like The House Guest or something. It's really good though. I'm like halfway through it. I forget the name, believe it or not. I think it's called The House Guest though.
You and I are going to have to keep in touch. You'll have to let me know what you're reading. And
I will.
We'll share some of that stuff.
I think it's kind of romantic, actually. I forget the name. I'll have to get your number. I'll tell you it.
Well, not a problem. I'll make sure you've got that, and I'll get your email, too, so we can share stuff
okay,
back and forth.
Perfect.
Favorite holiday memory growing up?
Honestly, just being with my family. I mean, all my family used to come over for Christmas, and, you know, each year it gets smaller and smaller because people, you know, live somewhere else, or there's, you know, it depends. And so, or, you know, kids now, they're having their own kids. They can't travel with babies. But that was my favorite. We used to just, like, you know, be kind of just dance until 4 in the morning.
Man, I'm telling you. See? It's just too much in common. Too much in common. Everybody used to think we were crazy growing up because Friday night my dad would start playing the records and everybody in the neighborhood would come over to dance, and always, always during the holidays, that's what we did.
Oh, I love
really,
that.
Really, really, really weird. This is the first time I've heard that from anybody else other than my family. So dancing's a big thing for me. Okay, congratulations once again. Remind everybody where they can catch all your latest news, your videos, or possible videos coming up, any new music and tour dates. So tell everybody where they can see you best.
So I mostly post on Instagram. So I would say at Kiralyn Music for Instagram and Kiralyn on Twitter. I post as well. And now I'm getting into TikTok. You'll see a lot of my little dog, Charlotte, my mom's dog. She's a little Pomeranian, and I think she's the cutest thing ever. So I always post her. And that's Kiralyn as well, Kiralyn Music.
Yeah, but you were holding a rabbit too. I remember.
Oh, yes. That was, I was at my boyfriend's Thanksgiving, and they had a pet rabbit. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah. My sister has a lot of them, but that rabbit's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Love the color. Love the eyes. Really, really cool. I saw the puppy, so definitely saw the dog. So.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte's adorable.
Yeah. I'm a huge dog fan, and I've always got
a dog.
Well,
if I ever meet you in person, I'm going
to
bring her.
Oh, perfect. I look forward to it. Look forward to meeting your mom. That would be awesome to see the woman behind the woman that we all love so much. Absolutely. Congratulations on your new single. I look forward to having you back on the show and can't wait to do that. Make sure that you have a wonderful holiday. And don't you forget, if you ever need any inspiration, you just send me a text and I will make sure you've got it.
Thank you so much, Kim. You're lovely. And I love this chat. So it made my day. And I appreciate the support. And for everybody listening, thank you so much.
Well, you know what? Thank you for your very special gift, being able to sing and share with us the music that you do and your songwriting. So special. And we are eternally grateful for you being able to go out there and share what is so beautiful inside of you.
Thank you, Kim. Thank
you.
You
take
so much.
Care and have a wonderful day and enjoy your shopping and say hi to your girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I will. Thank you, Kim. And and please email me. You have my email. So would love to stay in touch.
Okay. Sounds perfect. All right.
And I will show people about this interview too. Email me that too. Okay.
And
perfect.
That way you'll have all the info. Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you so much, Kim.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
That.
Okay. You take care. Okay, have a great day.
Soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
A great big thank you for my very special guest, Canadian country pop artist, Kira Lynn, for coming onto the show. I have some great shows coming up for you. I take a look behind the artists, the lyrics, and the music. I'll be interviewing David Boy Janes, Alex Hughes, pop artist Kea, Lemon Cash, Corey Marks, Rock Band Weapons, Taming Sari, Annika, voice winner Jay Coote's going to be back. Love him and look forward to everything that he's doing. He's got a new one out there with the tenors right now. So we've got FKB, Jamie Warren, The Washboard Union, and so many more. Don't forget, you can check out all of my podcasts on musicsjourney.com for more on the artists and interviews that you do not want to miss. You can also check out the articles that I write with all the artists that you know and love, with all the latest music, videos, and reviews, and more at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will see you here next time on Music's Journey.
The lonely nights, the wide awakes, wondering if I'll ever get over you. Second trials will go to waste. There'd be another lie that you couldn't undo. Every time you swore you'd change, you give in to the goals that your daddy gave you. Thought I'd be the one to help you. That's why it's gonna hurt to tell you. I don't wanna love you no more. I don't wanna work this thing out. I don't wanna settle the score for every bit of taste in my mouth. No cigarette or alcohol can chase away regret from all the tears that I pour. No, I don't wanna love you no more. I bet you thought I'd never say I'm finally moving on and I don't need it. You can call, you can beg, but now I'm doing me and it don't take two. So go ahead, make your bed, the one where you lay with somebody else. I can be the one to help you. That's why I gotta tell you. I don't wanna love you no more. Oh, I don't wanna work this thing out. I don't wanna settle the score for every bit of taste in my mouth. There's no cigarette or alcohol chase away regret from all the tears that I pour. I don't wanna love you no more. I don't wanna love you no more. I don't wanna love you no more. No, I don't wanna love you. Tears in